Greetings, fellow investigators, and welcome back to our video podcast, Into the Darkness, where my friends and I play the Call of Cthulhu role-playing game. I'm your host, Tom Rayleigh. Our scenario is entitled Mirror, Mirror. It was written by Dean Shomshak. Our game master is Thomas McKeon, and this is episode 4. I will be doing the recap as my character, Clifton Hawk. So we've postponed this long enough. The players are ready. Let's begin our journey into the darkness. Fowler got back from the Hall of Records empty-handed, but as it turned out, the blueprints were right under our nose in the library. There was nothing to them, just a lot of legwork for nothing. I understand that I'm damaged mentally. I have an obsession with mirrors. I keep thinking that the mirror is a doorway leading away from the house, maybe to another dimension, as silly as that sounds. Last night, I went to see that awful play with the others. It was as bad as Bamboni said. We found the author Carmichael in a nearby dive. I tried a little psychological trick to see if he would spill the beans with no success. Either he is innocent or he's a much better actor than everyone suspects. I ended up sleeping in my office, and I had another really weird dream. Everything was gray and red. There was a dilapidated mansion, a forest, strange, shadowy figures, and then vines climbing up my body onto my face and down my throat. Tommy, Trent, Dexter, and Dr. Thompson went to Salem to find out more from the auction house. We'll see if anything comes of that. Apparently, on the way back, they were shot at by a cloaked figure, possibly, according to Trent, the woman ghoul thing he encountered when he broke into Wick's antique shop. Fortunately, no one was hurt. To add to that, they discovered that Wick was involved in the sale of the house and its contents. As ridiculous as it may seem, there must be something cursed in that house. Oh my God, I must be cracking up. I'm supposed to deal with the fact, but God damn, this shit is odd. I went to the Miskatonic along with my new best friend Bamboni to talk to Amelia. She seemed shocked at what I told her, but not really that surprised. We need to make sure that she's kept safe because of her ties to Keziah Mason. That bothers me a lot. We then went down to the library and spent a couple of hours trying to research the history of the house, but no luck there. The others returned, and we combined all of our information. I honestly don't know what to do about that slimy bastard Abner Wick. I think that it's time that we checked the woods behind the house.
All right. So I need to know where your group is headed. You guys, in the last episode, kind of began discussing where you'd like to go, and you were discussing your thoughts about the case. But I need to know 100% where you guys want to go.
I think we're about to explore the woods behind the house.
You're all in agreement. You guys are going to go to the woods.
Yes, I agree with Hawk. We should definitely at least discount it. I mean, if there's nothing there, then we know there's nothing there.
We don't know what we're looking for, but for some reason, things are pointing towards the woods, and we need them. I'm expecting, quite honestly, a cave full of cultists worshiping some strange creature, since that's what I've encountered before. So, I am armed.
Okay. Everyone else?
Yep. I'm with them.
Yep. Shaka. All right.
I don't want to go to the forest, but if everybody else is.
Okay. Well, everyone else seems to be. So I guess you guys are all together. Now I'm going to ask, it's early, it's late afternoon, early evening. So how far in are you guys going? Are you going in a mile? Are you going in 2 miles, 3 miles, not even a mile? What's the plan?
If How many hours of light do you think we have?
You guys have three. It's like five now. So you got 3 hours. It's summertime in Massachusetts. So the sun will set about 8 o'clock.
So we'll walk for an hour and a half, and then we'll walk back for an hour and a half.
Yeah. All right.
Unless we get tired, then we'll walk back sooner.
All right. So you guys are going to go. I mean, to an hour. You guys will be pretty much a mile in, which is not deep, but for a significant way in. So the sun is just starting to kind of head towards the horizon. And you guys are walking. The ones that are armed have their weapons out. I need Dexter, Felix, and Henry to give me spot hits.
Oh, no.
Okay.
I fail.
I think I failed too.
Oh, God. Sorry, I've just got to clear a space.
Yep, I failed.
38. Oh, I've passed.
That's good. I'd be upset if you didn't pass. Felix, you can see that the group is kind of... You're towards the back. You're a magician. Hiking through the woods is not really something that you're used to. But so you're hanging back and you're kind of following the trail that I imagine Hawk and Trent are kind of leading. And you look to your left and you see in the brush these two deer legs sticking out from under a bush.
Excuse me. Sorry.
Felix,
I don't really come into the countryside very often, but should this be doing this?
We come over to look and see.
Yeah, so you see where he's pointing over to it, and you see that you know about, I don't know, 10 yards away, you see just two deer legs. You know, they're kind of crooked. And they're poking out of a bush.
Is it a dead deer?
You can't tell from this far away.
Right. I'm just kind of wondering. It's like, I'll move a little closer.
All right. So, you approach. Does anyone else approach or just Hawk? You kind of let him deal with it.
I'll deal with it too. I'll approach.
Okay.
Well, I think the done thing when you encounter something in the woods is to pick up a stick and poke it with the stick, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I'll find a stick. Let's see. Here's a stick.
Yeah, let's give it a poke.
All right.
As I get a little closer, let's sound 10 feet from it now. What does it look like?
You can see into it, and it's like a little thicket. It's like a little patch. Mm-hmm. And as you're approaching, you see the two deer legs, but are just around the corner, around the bush. You can see the torso and head of a deer, but you can see that the entire back, the lower abdomen and the back legs are completely gone. Something has shredded this deer.
A bear, maybe? It looks like it's just a dead deer, but maybe a bear killed it and ate it. Or
do they have bears around here?
In Massachusetts,
black bears. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. It's a little more woodland.
Hawk and Fowler, you're the closest to it.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna make you guys do a spot hidden, but when you're looking at it, you can see that. The section at this point you can see that it's starting to fester, but the section where this deer has been kind of ripped apart in the middle of the abdomen, it's all rock.
You know what? I'm gonna grab some of my gloves, and I am going to try it. I'm gonna touch it.
And I sort of, alert the others that are not close enough, and I just say, it's petrified in places, rock petrified, like the finger.
So,
that's interesting.
So, as everyone's approaching, you see Fowler kneel down, and you say you touch it. When you touch the rock portion, some of it chips away. And you see little in the sunlight, you see little glints of what looks like blue reflective crystal.
I will pick it up.
Well, it's embedded in the rock.
It's embedded that's part in the rock.
Yeah.
It's like the rock itself is crystalline.
Yeah, it looks like yeah. maybe
like,
some
like
sections.
The inside of the
geode. Yeah. Sorry, yeah. I thought it was like, you know, that I can like pick it up and touch it, but if it's
attached
in there,
to the deer. And as you kind of put your hand on the actual deer, the flesh is weak. It's been out here for some time in the sun. And as you push down, you feel something beneath the skin, and poking out from the back of the deer are these they're about an inch crystals. Sticking out and out.
Okay. Does anybody have a knife?
Yeah, sure.
Two of them.
Okay. pass me the. Thank you.
Okay.
I cut open the flesh.
Okay. So you cut open the flesh. Very first thing that happens as soon as you shove that blade into it is. The gas that's been building up inside of it is just released up into your face, and it smells fucking horrible.
I'll jump back.
So I need the two that aren't trained professionals out here to give me constitution rolls. The two professionals are Fowler and Hawk.
Uh-oh. Well, I got a 7. I made of quite strong stuff, I tell you.
I failed.
I love these dice.
Yeah, if have the dice that I'm thinking of, I have those dice too, and they never give me bad rolls.
They're great.
Yeah, no.
Are they rigged?
That's what everyone tells me. Everyone's like, "Oh, they're rigged," and I'm like, "No, I think I'm just a good roller." So Trent failed. What about Tommy and Henry?
Sorry, what was it? Conroll?
Con, yeah.
Yes, passed, but 52 out of 60.
That's fine. What about you, Henry?
You're muted.
Yeah, sorry about that. I failed.
Oh, you failed? Okay. So, Henry, you and Trent, you don't so much like throw up or anything like that, but the stench is putrid. So you guys take a couple steps back to avoid the gas that's seeping up out. So you kind of separate yourself a little bit from the group. Fowler, as you kind of slide the sharp edge, and the skin peels back. Organs, the what's left of the intestines kind of flop out, and when you look inside at the organs, a lot of them have patches of rock.
Okay, are you catching this there, Clifton?
Mm-hmm.
So I now need Trent and Henry to give me a spot hidden or a listen, whichever one you guys are better at.
Who was that? Trent and
Henry Thompson.
Mine's my spot hidden. Pass. I got a 7.
Okay.
And I fail. 81.
So as everyone else is looking at what's inside and Fowler's describing what the internal organs look like, Trent, you look over to the side, and that's when you see about 4 coyotes. Or I guess they're not coyotes in Massachusetts, are they?
Sure, you can have coyotes in, yeah.
Chupacabra.
Yeah. Coyotes.
You see them circling.
Interesting. Hey, guys, we have watchers.
I'll look up and look towards...
Yeah. I'll try to figure out which one's the alpha and, you know, keep a bead on that one with my shotgun just in case.
Well, coyotes are kind of like small dogs. They're,
yeah, but...
They're no match for a human. Unless there were 20 of them.
How many are there?
There are about 4. But you can see that they're rather close. It looks like they're hungry.
Yeah, they can smell the deer.
Or the fear.
As you guys are watching these coyotes, one approaches, and it begins approaching, and it bares its teeth. But then, and you all hear this, it's literally about 10 feet from where you are, you hear a bang! And these coyotes run off, screeching.
What kind of a bang?
Well, you turn in the direction of it, and you see a man, clearly a farmer, wearing overalls, and in his hand is a big pump-action shotgun. And just behind him is a small little girl and about a 12-year-old boy. And he says, what can I do you for? And he kind of brings the butt of the gun down onto the dirt.
He's hunting on property that's not his, though, right?
We've walked it a bit.
Yeah, no one really owns this property. It's just ruins. Okay. All
right. It's an easement. Okay. What brings you out here? I'll ask him.
He points at the coyotes that are kind of running away, and he says, keeping coyotes out of my farm. I have a ranch about 2 miles that way, and he points up.
Okay. I'll tell him I appreciate his assistance.
And he kind of leans on the barrel of the gun, and he says, he didn't really answer my question.
I'm sorry, what was that? What question?
What can I do you for? What are you all doing in these parts? You guys don't look like you're from around this area.
Well, actually, I've seen you before. We're from Arkham, just over there.
He nods and he says, you guys doing some kind of study or something with the university?
Mostly just going for a walk.
And he nods, and he says, don't know my manners. Herbert Day, and he kind of brings up the gun, puts it in the crook of his shoulder, approaches, and he holds out a hand.
I'll shake it.
Clifton Hawk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he shakes...
Dexter Fowler.
And he shakes your guys' hands, and he says, this here's my son Leon, and he points to the teenager. He says, and this is my daughter, Emma. And he points to the girl.
Nice to meet you.
Mr. Day, I'd like to show you something over here and get your opinion on it.
When he nods.
I show him the dead deer. And I say, what do you make of that? I've never seen anything like this before.
And he kind of he looks at the rock of the lower abdomen, and he kind of narrows his eyes, and he kicks it with his boot. And then he says, that's rock. Never seen this before. Seen it on trees. Haven't seen it on this.
I'm sort of looking at for his react. I guess it's kind of a psychology role to see if he is like genuinely shocked or surprised or scared or...
Yeah, go ahead and give me a psychology.
I mean, superstition alone might... I got a 9,
yeah.
Which is... I got... what is it? That's actually a critical.
He's clearly confused. He's not scared or worried, but it's confusing because he's never seen this before.
Yeah. So you've never seen anything like this before, huh?
No. Well, I haven't really seen much out here recently. Damn coyotes are poaching away all the deer and all the birds.
Now, I don't want this guy to get really scared, so what I do is I just sort of say to him, I say, my guess is, because some of us work at the university, that it might be the result of some sort of chemical, that the animal ate something, and it caused him to sort of crystallize, like sugar or honey does when it sits around for a long time. It's just bullshit.
Could be.
It sounds like...
He nods it. Yeah, you don't even... Well, go ahead and give me a fast talk.
Fast talk. Where's my fast talk? That's 30. I got 13.
Okay, well, that's good. And he nods and he says, could be. I'll have to watch the ground then, make sure none of that chemical gets into the cows and the goats. And he kind of kicks the rock again. And you can see Leon, he's taking a stick and he's poking at the head. And Herbert says, Leon, get over here. And Leon kind of approaches and he drops the stick. And he says, Herbert, he says, I don't really think y'all should be out this far into the woods.
Well, we're about to walk back.
Oh, that's good. Coyotes, you saw them. There's more of them. I haven't seen them yet, but there's more of them running around.
You don't mind us walking out here on your land? Is this part your land?
No, but like I said, I noticed that no more deer or birds, and when I came out here about a month and a half, 2 months ago, I saw these coyotes, so I just took a guess. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing these coyotes have been killing all the animals here, and I'm afraid they're going to make their way up to the cows up on my ranch.
Yeah, you got to defend your property.
Until I can afford a donkey.
What's that?
He looks at you and says, until I can afford a donkey.
Okay. I think that we'll be quite safe. It's a sign of the times, but you know, we all carry some protection. I pat my gun.
Any nonsense is smart. Don't leave the house without this if I'm going in here. And he holds up the shotgun.
You see any other weird stuff out here? Is that any particular reason why you think that's more dangerous out here than any place else?
Like I said, no animals. Got to be the coyotes.
Hmm. Yeah, I kind of noticed earlier that I didn't see any birds.
Yeah. Odd. And he kind of he leans against a tree and he takes out a cigarette and he lights it. Then he kind of offers any of you a cigarette if you want it.
Sure. My friends.
Yeah. And he passes one to Leon. And his teenage son, you know, lights it up and he smokes too.
Of course.
Yeah.
It's 1920.
Everybody smoke.
Yep. 1930, sorry.
It's good for you.
Yeah. Surgeon General says so.
Fortifies your lungs, makes them nice and strong and rubbery.
Mm-hmm. So do you guys have any more questions for him?
I don't think so. Does he seem like, I mean, at least a little friendly?
Oh yeah, he seems friendly, but he's kind of an older. He's clearly an older man. He's weathered. He's been out here for a while. And so he...
I sort of aside to the others, I'm like, does anybody know anything about farming?
Not what really. About,
what about other than us? Have you seen any people out here recently?
I mean, not out here. About a mile in the direction you came, there's a house, but no one used to live there, and now there's people there. I'm sure they can tell you the same thing. Coyotes.
Is he pointing to the house where he came from?
Yeah.
Yep.
Do you know anything about the people that lived there before in that house?
No, not really. The house has been abandoned for years. I came up here, I don't know, a couple years ago. No one was in there when I moved in.
Hmm. All right. Well, thank you very much.
So he nods and he takes a drag and he says, if y'all need anything, let me know. I live right up here. Just go up the road. Turn around the bend, I'm there.
All right, cool. Maybe we'll come and visit you. You have any preferences on drink? Well,
he chuckles and he says, "If you got any scotch or bourbon, in about three shots, I can start cutting the rug."
You got it. Wow. All right.
And he smiles and he takes a cigarette and he throws it on the dirt. He squashes it out. And he says, let's go, kids. And he kind of leads them back in their direction.
All right. Gentlemen, should we head back?
Probably.
Quick question. How were the kids acting?
They're quiet. Especially the little girl, who was kind of like clinging to her dad the entire time and kind of hiding behind him. Mainly because there are strangers out in the woods. And,
right.
How old did they seem to be?
Boys seem to be about 12. The girls seem to be about 6 or 5.
All right.
Yeah, the teenage boys seem more enthralled with the dead, half-eaten deer on the ground than you guys. So they're heading away.
So I guess we're going to head back.
Yeah.
Other than the weird deer thing.
Is it worth trying to get one of those crystals and bring it back to the university?
That's probably a good idea.
Yeah, that is a good idea, but
you should be able to break part of that off.
Yeah, bro, how heavy is it?
The deer?
The rock in comparison to rock. Like, is it rock or concrete, or is it?
The rock, it's just rock. If you guys had, Trent, you have the butt of a shotgun, so you'd be able to hit it off and kind of chip
make
it.
Make sure the safety's on and give it a click, click.
Yeah. especially with the ones on the spine, the crystals that kind of stick up from the flesh, you just kind of bang down on them and you grab some fragments. You guys have seen geodes before.
Yes.
Yeah. One odd thing about these crystals is that they're not geodes. You can kind of see through the crystals. They're translucent. These are reflective.
So they're metallic looking.
They look, yeah, they look like crystals, but you can see that they've got, like, they're not, you can't look through them. They've got this reflective metallic sheen.
Hmm. We need a mineralogist. We'll take some of this back to the university. That's a great idea. See if they can identify what it is.
Right. So you walk back to the house. By this point, it's the sun is over the horizon. It's about 8.
Okay.
So what should the gang do now?
Well, I suppose we're going to eat dinner.
Yeah, and Danielle and Bree have already probably prepared dinner. It's probably been sitting out for about 10 minutes. They've been trying to keep it warm for you guys when you return.
Well, gentlemen, do we have any leads at all? Except we know that Wick is somehow involved in this.
Does anybody have any kind of a geology skill we can take a look? I mean, or maybe somebody knows someone at the university we could take these crystals to have them looked at?
Thompson should know all the people at the university, at least.
Who would I know at the university?
Who would you know at the university? Give me one sec.
Just as a side note, I've been actively trying to avoid going to the university.
So. All right. So,
the geology professor's name is Rocky Rockefeller.
Yeah. No. There's a man there. His name is George Castle. You believe he can help you? He's a mineralogist.
So I'll let them know.
Yeah.
All right. So you're gonna? Is that what you're gonna? Well, obviously not today. Tomorrow.
Not today. Yeah. Tomorrow makes more sense.
We don't have any. We don't have much to go on. We'll find out what that mineral is, and is there? When you went to the auction house, did you get the manifest? Do you know what all was sold? What all Wick's name was attached to?
Not really. We basically just have the three names. James Healy, Ingram Sheffer, and then the Scrambled Band Wicker.
Yeah. I'm almost wishing that we could walk through the entire house and note which things Wick had a hand in. I sound ridiculous. I believe suddenly in cursed objects, but I don't know. So we need something to lead us somewhere, and I just don't know what it's going to be at this point.
Well, we were also shot at earlier.
That's true, and you think it was that same ghoul person that you killed her mate or son or whatever it was.
Why would somebody fake their name for an auction house paper too?
That's actually a good question. That's a really good question. Unless he was selling something that wasn't his and didn't want it traced back. It's not a very good if I was going to do something sneaky, I certainly wouldn't use my actual name scrambled up.
Yeah.
Hift and Clock.
Unless it's left as a clue for us, for someone to find. It's not intentionally meant to hide something.
Well, then that would mean that he set this whole thing up to get us involved somehow, but I don't see how he could do that. And then the deer, we've got something in our environment is turning things to stone.
Yeah.
Like the Medusa, like the Gorgon. But
yeah.
Maybe I hit on something. Maybe it is a chemical of some sort.
Chemical.
I mean, I don't have a chemistry, but I could imagine something that would replace.
Who would I know at the university that's a good chemistry professor?
Probably Professor Bowerman.
Okay.
Something that would replace carbon with silicon or something like that would.
A crystal would be a mineral, right?
Yes. Just give me a second. I have a little bit of chemistry. Do you mind if I roll that to see if I could kind of?
Sure. You need to make a hard.
Okay. No, I don't make it.
All right. So, I mean, it's possible that this could be a chemical, but you can't really, you know, think of what the chemical would be or what the chemical process would be to turn carbon into silicon.
Actually, I guess we should say silicon. Silicone is.
Silicon.
Then again, we're not chemists, so we don't know the difference. All right. Well, so let's see. What's our plans for tomorrow? Dr. Thompson, you're going to go to the university?
It looks like I'm going to have to, so... sure.
Is that a problem, Doctor?
Is there a problem? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not too thrilled to see the dean.
Do you want somebody to come with you?
I'll go.
That's fine. Hopefully I don't bump into him, but you know, our past dealings didn't end so well.
I'm wondering if Dexter should consider going to see Wick, since he's the only one. He and Tommy are the only two that. Well, no, Bamboni too. He's never met any of you. I couldn't go. Sterling couldn't go. I don't know what for. I don't know what you'd be doing. Find out what he sold. Oh, I suppose we're not supposed to know that he sold that stuff, huh?
The other two names mean anything to anybody else?
What were those names again?
James Healy and Sheffer.
I hear a noise.
It's just the ladies putting the silverware away.
Exactly.
James Healy, and what was the other guy's name?
Ingram Sheffer.
Ingram Sheffer.
I don't remember.
Maybe we should see it. I mean, we got the leads. We might as well follow up and see if we can find out who they are. I can do that. I don't know what I'm going to do. They're they could be anywhere.
Is there a town directory here that we can look them up?
Yeah. Of course, this was in Salem, so.
Yeah. So there's no.
They could be from anywhere in Massachusetts.
Yeah, they could actually be anywhere in New England.
Yeah.
Well, assuming Adner's involved, I'm just assuming that if there's ties with the house and the contents, there should be.
That's true. Well, I'll see what I can find out. I'll look in the directory, see if the operator at the phone company knows anything about where these people are or. I don't know. I'll see what I can find out. I'll do what I can.
I thought of another question, Thomas, about the deer. Was the growth kind of spread throughout the deer's body, or was it like a hard, like this half is normal, this half is?
It was kind of spread throughout the body. It was like an infection that was seeping from where where all that stone was, and it was seeping towards the head.
Okay.
Could we also go to a biology teacher, too?
Sure, it's university. You guys can spend some time at the university.
I'm not going to the university, but I just thought maybe we should get every single aspect, like biology, chemistry, plants.
Botany. Sure.
All right.
Speaking of botany.
So.
Yeah, for some reason, I can't get in touch with, there was a woman that I was familiar with. And she was studying chemistry as well as botany, but for some reason I can't get in touch with her. She seems to have disappeared.
Folks, I'm not sleeping in this house. I'm going to go back to my office. I will be back at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Scary.
Understood.
See, well, I'm definitely staying. I'm hoping something exciting happens.
I'll play the piano.
I'm always up for adventure. I'm going to stay in the...
All right.
In there.
This is a whole lot cheaper than...
Suit yourself.
...money on a hotel, so I'm staying.
All right. So, guys.
Well, I'm kind of stuck with this. I've moved out of my hotel room. The police have told me I can't leave.
And with that, we're.
I guess I'll stay here.
With that, let's say you guys go to sleep, talk, you go back to your office. Mm-hmm. Nothing happens. Morning comes, everything's okay. So let's lock down where everyone's going. So I know that Tom said something about Wick. Is anyone going to Wick?
Not me.
No, can't be Trent.
Can't be Trent, yeah. Yeah, listen. I could go to Wick's. Because I don't think he knows that I'm in the...
I think those who weren't involved in the previous case should check out Wick's place.
Except maybe for Tommy, because Tommy was in the front seat driving. He might have been seen.
I think I could... I mean, I think we talked about this before, and I could go and see Wick and say that I'm just looking for... You know, objet d'art for my stage act, you know, set dressing.
I can
unusual objects.
I could join you too there, Felix.
Well, what are we looking for? I mean what is it we're
Yeah, what are we looking for there?
If we knew that, then we would know more, but we don't know anything. We're just hoping that something Providence falls into our hands and we see something or hear something that will tie it all together to what we're doing.
Okay.
Serendipity.
Well, just to recap, we do know that Adner's a bad and dangerous person, right?
Yeah, be careful.
To put it bluntly.
If he says, come down into my basement and could you just reach into that oven over there, say no.
Okay.
And be armed. Make sure that you're, you know, don't make it obvious, but use your judgment.
I can't think of how to approach it like you're saying. It's not like we're looking for anything in particular.
Just don't need to worry about me. I grew up in the Bowery, as you can tell from my accent.
Okay.
I can take care of myself.
I'm gonna have my gun concealed. What's my conceal? Not the good. And I'll have, you know, just in case I have it fully loaded. Can you hear me? Yeah.
There you go.
Okay. Yeah, I have it fully loaded.
So it's just you and Felix.
Okay.
Does anybody else wanna, you know, stay outside, maybe in the vehicle or something like that, in case something does happen that we do have backup that, you know.
You're a big boy.
Why would anything happen? We're two complete strangers going into a shop, which is customers.
Well, mind you, too, they were following us when we left the house last time. So they might know who you are. If they're watching the house, they might know who you are.
They might. That's what...
I kind of want to go, because I want to confront the person that shot at me.
Give me. Okay.
It's your decision.
I wasn't in that car. I'm from out of town. I mean, I'm no one to them.
I'm also from out of town too. So.
Okay. You're probably right. I'm not going to go there. Sounds too.
Yeah. These two are two unknowns. You know.
Yep.
They can probably get more information if these guys aren't on guard.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So Fowler and Felix are going to Wix.
Yeah. I am Hawk. The first thing I'm doing is checking the phone book to see if there is James Helix and Ingram Sheffer.
Well, I mean, you've got a directory pretty much in your office, and you can look through it. Those people don't live in Arkham.
They're not there. All right. Well, then that kind of is a lead that I can't follow. Go to somebody next, and I'll think about what I'm going to do.
No problem. Okay. So let's go to, I guess, Tommy, Trent, and Henry. What are you guys doing?
So we were heading to the university.
University.
Okay. Tommy, Jeff, is that what you're doing as well, or are you doing something else?
Yeah, that sounds good.
All right.
I don't know what help I'll be, but I'm just going to go to Tagalong.
Okay, so I'm going to focus on you three really quick, because your thing is going to be relatively easy to do. Chemistry first. Without knowing exactly what it is, there's no telling what the chemical compound is or anything like that. It takes weeks to uncover the chemical balance of it. When you go to the mineralogist, he explains it's not like any crystal that you've ever seen. And if you go to a biologist, he can tell you it's definitely not a plant or something grown naturally in a biological sense. It's probably something geological. So you can now ask any mineralogical chemistry or biology question, and we can get it out of the way.
All right. I'll ask, would he know anything about any sort of chemical sort of reaction, maybe gaseous or liquid that would turn something from flesh to stone?
It's possible, but if you explain to them that you found this in the middle of the woods on a deer that was half eaten, it's highly unlikely that the bear was carrying around a vat of like aspic or something like that.
True, but what I'm getting at is I know that different compounds are made up of different chemicals, and I'm wondering if somehow two compounds got mixed together in nature to cause this sort of reaction. What would be able to do that?
In nature, this reaction would never happen. He can tell you that right off the bat. If you found this out in the middle of the woods, someone that needed to have a chemical set to create the compound, because you're literally turning flesh to rock. With petrified wood, it can take millions of years to occur. With fire, it oxidizes the wood, turning it into petrified wood, and if you didn't find any evidence of a fire, then it's probably not that. And that's with trees. That's not with flesh. If there was no tar, then it's probably not an encasing of tar or tar doesn't create crystals. So as he's going through the thing, you can tell that nothing natural occurred here. What you're describing is something unnatural. This doesn't happen in nature.
I see.
Is he able to identify the mineral at least? Does that appear natural or is that unidentified?
He can tell you that it definitely appears in shape and, as he puts it under the microscope, it appears in shape and in compound to be like a geode crystal.
Okay.
But for some reason, it's got this reflective sheen that doesn't happen in geocrystals before.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Should we leave the sample with him and then let him study it, and if he finds something?
We have more than one sample, don't we? Like more than one fragment?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I don't want to leave the only one here. We can avoid it.
Yeah. I'll leave it with them if they want to keep it.
Sure. We can say that was just the chemist. You guys have no questions for the biologist or the mineralogist?
I could ask the mineralogist something.
Sure.
Even if we don't know the actual exact mineral that this is, or exact crystal composition or chemical composition this is, the way the crystal's grown, the way it has formed,
mm-hmm.
is it like a normal way that crystal?
I mean, yes. It appears that the crystal has it appears that the crystal has grown in a natural way from the rock bed it was formed from. But what you're saying is that this rock bed that it formed from was attached to flesh and it came from flesh, much like the Medusa story. And that's what's trumping everybody, because they can tell you, oh yeah, it appears to be a geocrystal and it looks like it's grown like a geocrystal, but it wasn't part of a geo.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. So, let us now move on to Fowler and Felix. We're going to go to Wix. So, okay. You guys drive down Main Street. Main Street is pretty much abandoned. And this includes Abner Wick's shop. You literally pull up in front of it, and you see the glass antique window, which was broken. You can still see the broken glass. You can see plywood was put in front, just behind the broken glass. And the entire shop is completely abandoned. The sign is taken down. There's notices all over the door. It looks like it's been abandoned since October.
Can I peer in a bit, see if there's anything inside?
Yeah, you peer through the window. You peer through a crack in the window from where between the wall and the plywood. And you can see inside, and it's completely empty.
So there's no glass? There's just wood on the window?
I mean, there is glass, but the wood, you can see, has been stapled to the wall to cover the giant hole that... from the broken glass. It looks like whoever was here, Abner Wick, didn't bother replacing the window back in October. He just left.
Okay. Now, we could go through the front door, or we could try and go through the back.
Well, if you're thinking what I think you're thinking, then probably the back door would be a
back door.
Okay. So, I'm going to see you guys go around back, you open the door. Doors are open.
Okay, that's what I was going to just say. Is the door open or...
Yep. But it's open. So you've entered into a loading dock, the same loading dock where the shootout occurred earlier. You can see that there's a big blood splot in the wood grain from where Trent shot the ghoul in the last case. And you can definitely smell a musk. This place has been abandoned for months. Directly in front of you is a passageway that leads into the main shop area. To your left is a stairway down into what looks like a basement or a cellar, and then to your right is a stairway that leads up to the second floor.
Okay, first thing, I'm gonna get a torch or something that I can have light see, that I can do have over a light source.
Well, we'll say you have a flashlight.
Okay.
All right. So what now, Corey? So you're heading down.
What do you think there, Felix? Down first or go upstairs?
Yeah. Didn't Hawk say something about the cellar? Yeah. Let's go down there.
Yeah. Let's go to the basement.
All right. So, Fowler, you take lead. You head down the wood stairs into the cellar. It's small. It's about the size of a very small walk-in closet. And you're looking around completely empty, except in the far wall. It's a brick wall. There's a giant hole. And when you look and you shine your light into this hole, you can see that this brick wall was blocking access into the brick sewer system beneath Arkham.
Okay.
Well, that's unsanitary. What do you think
of this there? Yeah, no, it's pretty bad. We will come back to this when we have the full party.
Okay.
You know, the city wouldn't approve of that at all. I mean, it's no wonder. And I don't know how they ever managed to rent this property out with that there. It's terrible.
I don't know.
Oh, get cholera.
Or even something even bad. But...
You don't think cholera is bad? I should tell you. Cholera is bad. It's a bad thing. You got any dirty water, you get cholera. There's disease everywhere.
Also, E. coli, too.
Yeah, let's go and look upstairs. I don't want to spend any more time down here in this filthy cellar. All
right. So you guys head upstairs. When you head upstairs...
Is there a wash basin anywhere? I feel like I need to wash my hands.
I feel even dirty looking at this.
No, unfortunately, there's no working sink. Water's been turned off. So is the power. As you go up the stairs from the cellar and up onto the second floor, you guys see two things. The first is to your right is a small, what looks like it looked like to be a bedroom. But it's completely empty except for in one corner, in the south corner of the room, there's a bunch of different sheets all bundled up and shoved in the corner. It looks like a little nest.
Okay. I will go towards it.
Okay.
Cautiously.
You walk across the room cautiously. And yeah, it just looks like a whole bunch of sheets, probably a dozen.
All bundled up. Kick it.
You kick it. Sheets.
Okay. I will then open up this, see what's in the, grab them, look at them, see if there's anything in the sheets.
Okay. So you kind of disturb the bedding and you're rifling through them. There's nothing there. There's just a bunch of sheets. Just a bunch of sheets bundled up in a corner.
Are you really a detective?
What?
I mean, I'm just asking. I mean, what?
Yeah.
I just wondered. I just thought you might be in the laundry business.
Oh, I'm not in the laundry business. You got to make sure there's nothing in there.
Okay.
Unless you want to put your hand in and something nasty comes up and rips your hand off. You never know what's going to happen.
Well, so, I put sheets on my bed every night and nothing ever comes up from them and rips my head off.
So the other room was probably once Abner Wick's bedroom. It's been completely, it's completely empty, except for a large, about 4-foot safe that's set in the middle of the room.
There you go there, Felix. Why don't you go and open that safe then?
Do you want me to open a safe?
Yeah, let's see what's in it.
Is that illegal? I mean, it's like...
It's abandoned, so might as well.
What kind of safe is it? Is it a key lock safe or a combination?
Combination 4 digits.
Combination 4 digits. I don't know how to open a safe. I mean, handcuffs, yeah, but I mean... This is a safe. You need a safe cracker.
I thought you could do a
bit of escapology. I can crack a lock. I mean, you know, I practice on every time I stay in a hotel room. I practice on the lock of the room, but I don't know how to crack a safe with a combination. I mean, this is a specialist job. You need someone who, if it was just a key, I could open it with a bit of practice, but. I don't know.
Unless you've got some
gelignite with you.
I thought you were a magician that you can open anything.
What do you think a magician does? I don't open safes. I put money in safes when I get it, which is rare these days. You know, I can open some handcuffs, like I say, but, you know, no, I've never been locked in a safe. I've never had to get out of a safe. I don't know it.
I mutter myself, amateur. But, okay, I guess...
Can I just go up to the safe and just see if it's sharp?
Yeah, you go up to it, and unlike the door, you can't open it.
Yeah, it's shut. It's locked. There you are. I've given you my expert opinion, and my expert opinion is the safe is locked. Now, I do have a locksmith skill. Mm-hmm. And I know that you're supposed to listen for the clicking of the levers, and I understand the principles of it. But
well, that's with a dial safe. This is a digit safe, so it's 4 digits. I don't know if they work the same, but I mean, we can try. I'd say you'll get it. You'll open it if you get a critical, get above a heart.
Okay, look, I mean, I'll have a go, but I've never done this before. I've never done this before. What's my locksmith skill? No. I passed, but I got a 14, and in order to get an extreme would have been a 12, so no.
So you're flipping, and it just nope.
I can kind of hear something in there. I mean, there's something. I think that was a click, but I stopped them all when I heard the clicks, but nothing happened. So I guess
okay.
You want to carry it back with you?
No, I'm not going to carry it back.
I mean, it's a 4-foot safe. So
yes.
I don't think, like, when I mean 4 feet, I mean 4 feet tall. So I don't know if you guys are just going to be able to walk out with this thing.
Okay. I will try this. I have a decent locksmith roll.
Okay. You will need an extreme.
No.
Okay. All right. Well, it's just a big safe standing in front of you.
Sure, you must know some safecrackers. You're a detective. You must know some, like, you must have contacts
in
the criminal fraternity.
I'm not from here.
Don't you know any cracksmen or jelly merchants?
Yes, I do, but they're back in New York, and I don't think they want to travel this distance. The crack is safe.
There's a depression on, buddy. You know, people go where the work is.
I don't know. I want to just explore more of this.
Well, I mean, other than the main office, the main lobby floor, that this is about it.
Okay. Is there? There's not. Yeah, let's go. Let's go to the main lobby. Maybe there's an office.
Yeah. So when you go down into the lobby and onto the main selling floor, all it is just an open. It's just an open sales floor. There's really nothing there. It's completely empty. There's no office. You guys have checked everywhere, and really the only things in the shop that are of any interest are the hole in the basement that leads to the sewer, and then the safe upstairs.
Okay.
So with that information, I want to now jump to Hawk.
Okay. Yeah, I was just about to say maybe Hawk is the best. Maybe Hawk and the other guys that dealt with Abner Wick, maybe they can help us unlock the safe.
Well, we can certainly try when we get there, but what I'm going to do, since the phone book doesn't list anything, I'm going to try a little trick. I'm going to call the auction house.
Okay.
And I'm going to pretend to be our guy,
Daniel.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm simply going to say, yes, I'm calling because there's some items in my house that I purchased from Mr. James Healy and Mr. Ingram Sheffer, but I can't seem to find their number. Could you give that to me, please?
Certainly. Their numbers are, and she passes them off to you because she's checked. She sees that that you're there. And she just gives you this information.
Okay. Thank you very much. And I hang up. Now I've got their numbers.
Yep. Now you have their numbers.
So I will call Mr. James Healy first.
So in calling James Healy, the very first thing that you get is, you know, that he's a professional. We're gonna skip past the conversation because all that he really tells you is that he was selling some books.
Okay, so some of the books that he sold. Okay, yeah. And then I jumped. I take care of that conversation. Then I go to Ingram Sheffer.
So Ingram Sheffer, when you have this conversation, when you explain what's going on, he says that he's from Connecticut, and he was selling some furniture.
Okay. Was any of it mirrors?
No.
Okay. Anything unusual, imported, foreign?
He says nothing imported. He says most of my furniture is antiques that I got from my family. I don't know where I got them.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much. So that's kind of a dead lead.
Yeah.
So I'm going to get some iced tea and sit here in the quiet of the house now that nobody's there and wonder what the hell I'm going to do. I'll go over my notes is about all I can think of doing. Yeah. Unless somebody calls me on the phone and asks me to come crack a safe for them or something.
And that's what happens. Ring, ring. Yeah, ring, ring, you sit down.
A safe, you say?
Yeah.
I'll be right over.
Okay.
So, and of course, they must tell me that Wick's place is abandoned. So
yes, 100%.
Safe, abandoned. Come quickly.
All right.
So
number, four digits. Think, man, think.
Trapped so, rabbit. We can also, it's safe to say that Hawk caught and contacts both Trent and Henry. And we're going to say that the entire group is now meeting at Aberwick's shop.
Okay.
So you're all at Aberwick's shop, standing on the second floor, looking at a giant safe.
Now, to be perfectly honest, I doubt seriously that Wick would have left anything in the safe. So we need to find a way.
Yeah, you say that, but I think there's a fair chance that I might have accidentally put a rabbit in there.
Oh,
yes.
Well, then we need to get the rabbit out. You used magic again.
Well, there's not a lot of air in there. We better hurry.
I got my wand out, I'm afraid.
Well, something tells me that I really should have considered keeping my notes from the last game.
Try 1690 or 1610.
1690, 1610. Let's try those numbers. One.
Okay, six. Nine. So which one do you try first?
1690.
Okay, 1690. Click!
I look over at Tommy like, apparently you didn't need me, you just needed you.
I'll do a name to save a rabbit.
So, Hawk, because you're the one that typed in the number, I need you to give me an intelligence roll.
Okay. Where'd my dice go? Oh. 36? I think I'm that smart.
That's
I'm that smart. That's actually better than half. So that's a hard.
Tom. Hawk. Would the number be 1690 if it weren't meant for you?
What is 1690?
Is
that my address?
The witch trials.
Oh, witch trial. 1690. That's right.
Because I am the date.
The date of the witch trials. Since you know you found the safe, Dexter, please be my guest.
Okay.
And I'm gonna stand back. And I actually put my hand on Tommy and pushed him back too.
I'm gonna light a cigarette with a sort of insouciant air.
I'll hold my ears.
Okay. Here's what I'm going to... I will open it, but I will slowly open it, but kind of stand behind the door so that the opening will not... So wherever the opening will be...
Yeah, I'll face everybody else. So you're opening it, you're hiding behind the door, and you pull it open, and what's inside just seems to be a manifest.
Ta-da!
A manifest in some books. And on top of these books, there's a little note.
And I'm like, be careful. Don't touch anything yet.
Okay. Okay. I'll put gloves on, and yeah. I will look at the note.
Okay, so you slide the piece of paper out and you flip it up, and in handwriting you can see that there's no dust, because it's been inside a safe. Why would there be dust? But you can tell it's aged. The ink has aged. And so when you look at it, the ink says on the piece of paper, "The Baron sends his regards."
Okay.
The Baron or La Baron?
The Baron.
The Baron.
I look over at Trent like, "The Baron? Does that mean anything to you, Trent?"
Sorry, I was muted. Does it?
No.
Thomas? No? No. I say no. No, it does not. I'm as confused as you.
Okay.
What else does it say?
And yeah, what's else in the safe?
The paper. There's nothing else on the paper. It's completely useless. What the books are is you can see that these books are the books that Hawk was going through when you guys entered into the shop during the Abner Wick during the Crimson Letter case. So if you remember, you were going through books in the shop before you began questioning him.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the books that you and the group were kind of perusing through.
Anything interesting, or were they just books?
Just books.
I don't remember.
They're just books. They were just old books, antique books. But it's just another sign that this was left for you.
Okay. I'm going to collect up the books and see if there's a clue or anything inside of them. That might take a bit of time, so I might do it later.
Yeah. You pick up the books, nothing falls out, and under the books is a leather, like a binder, like a portfolio binder.
Something big enough to hold the Crimson Letters?
It's pretty thick, but you can see the paper inside. It looks like it's a manifest.
Okay, manifest for what?
Are you going to pull it out?
Yep, you pull it out and you open it. It is a manifest for every single item that Abner Wick sold in November 3rd. He sold every single item he had on November 3rd.
I ask Clifton. What's so important about November 3rd?
That was, exactly 9 months ago. Am I right?
And it was a month, after the whole incident with, everything that happened. It was about 2 weeks.
Does it detail to whom they were sold?
No. It just says what was sold and how much money was sold. But you can see that it has a list of the people he bought it from. So you can see that the incoming dates and names and everything like that were nicely drawn. It's nice cursive. Then all of the outgoing sales and all the cash inflow were scribbled hastily, and they're all dated for November 3rd.
Are there any names we recognize on
nope.
this list?
Since Hawk is the one holding it, Hawk, why don't you give me a library use roll?
Okay. Well, I handed it to him, but yeah.
I got 48 and out of 65. So just a regular success.
You're going through. And that's when you see it. Black Mirror.
The same Black Mirror that we've got. I bet you it's the same one that's in where the piano is.
Mm-hmm.
Black Mirror.
It was bought from a Mr. Gerald Olson about 3 years ago.
Olson. No address or anything? No.
There is an address, actually.
Contact. Oh, there is a contact. Excellent. So I've got the address.
Yep.
Where is the address? Is it local or?
Yeah, it's local.
Really?
Yep.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
In addition to the mirror, which, as you've said, we suspect may be the mirror we encountered, well, that you encountered and had a strange experience with before. On this manifest, does it mention a large volume of books or any other items that we may have seen in Raidley's house?
Yes, several. Many of them mirrors.
It looks like...
all of them coming from Gerald Olson.
It looks very much like Raidley has furnished his home with the goods from Abner Wick's shop.
That's not good.
Is that what it actually looks like? Are the things that were sold that day things that we have seen in the house?
There's over 100 listings, and you can tell, like, the, you know, like the staff of Ra is definitely not in Radley's house.
Oh, okay.
It seems like for the ones that are not so much fluent in the Cthulhu mythos, but at least knowledgeable on it. It looks like Abner Wick's shop was mainly a den for supernatural objects and tomes. And he sold everything on one day. It's like he was just trying to push everything out the door as quickly as possible.
Okay.
But you can tell, you know... a lot of you can just like see like mirror. All the mirrors are from Gerald Olson, and you can kind of look at the general description, and you can see like, oh, that's the mirror that's hanging up in the parlor room, and that's the mirror that's hanging in the ballroom.
Well, I think we now have another lead, Gerald Olson.
Yeah.
Yeah, mirrors. Here we've got mirrors as part of this whole thing. Again, I hate mirrors so much. Gerald Olson, I have an address. Shall we go?
Oh, I want to show you guys the hole that's going to the sewers.
There's what?
Yeah, do you know there's a big hole that's kind of that's connected to the sewers? I'm pretty sure you would like it there, Clifton.
I look at him with absolute horror in my face. There is a way into the subterranean world from here, you're saying. I immediately go downstairs and look at this for myself.
Yep.
And I'm thinking, according to all the legends about the ghouls, this is where they would come from.
Yep. It's a big man-sized hole that you can see. It's a direct line into the into a dry section of sewer just underneath Main Street.
An abandoned section of sewer, probably.
See, I thought you would like that. So there you go, there, Clifton.
How far did you go in?
I didn't go in. I thought I would wait for you to explore it.
Yeah, no, I ain't going in there.
Why not?
There's no telling what's in there.
You should go in there.
Ain't gonna happen. I'm going to go find out more about Mr. Gerald Olson.
Would you like to go to his address?
I'm thinking... Yeah, I suppose that's probably a good idea.
Okay.
What reason? I am a detective, so... I'm just going to tell him that we're following up some information, some leads on a case, and I just need to ask him a few questions.
Okay. Everyone
Does anybody else want to come with me?
Yeah, I'll come with you. I'm keen to see how these things work.
Yeah, I'll go in. I'll go too.
I'll tag along.
Yeah, sure.
All right. We'll go flood this man with six people just walking in his front door.
Okay.
All right.
So, you guys head over to Gerald Olson's house, which is a cute little brownstone that's set over in South Arkham. You walk up and you knock on the door, and you hear some shuffling, and the door opens, and it's a 45-year-old man, and he looks at you and he says, he's slightly balding. He's got a cup of coffee in his hand. He says, "Can I help you?"
You're Mr. Gerald Olson.
That's correct.
My name is Clifton Hawk. I'm a private investigator. I'm working on a particular case, and I need to ask you a few questions, if you wouldn't mind.
He kind of looks over your shoulder at the five other individuals behind you, and he says, "And who are they?"
Oh, don't mind them. They're just tag-alongs.
I am also an investigator working with Clifton Hawk. They wanted to see how private investigation works.
He kind of nods, and he's got this face, and he's like, "Oh, all right." And he opens the door fully, and he allows you guys to step inside.
Thank you.
We were just interested in a piece of evidence has come up in a case, and it's a mirror. And we noticed that it was purchased along with quite a few other mirrors from you. How long ago was it? Maybe a month ago?
Oh, well,
I'm asking the GM.
Oh, so Abner Wick bought the mirrors 3 years ago.
Oh, it was about 3 years ago?
He sighs and he kind of walks into the living room and he sits down on a big plush armchair. And he says, 3 years ago? Yeah, I mean, I don't know specifically the objects that you're talking about.
Well, one in particular was a very large black mirror that was sold to a Mr. Abner Wick.
Well, I really, honestly, don't, like I said, I don't know anything about these objects. All of these objects, they used to belong to my uncle, Abram Jardins.
What was the name, Abram?
Abram Jardins, Jardyce, detective.
All right. And why did he sell them, or is he still with us, or?
He passed. I mean, we don't really know. He disappeared.
Do you have any idea? You say he disappeared.
Yes. The maid, I believe, I can't remember. The maid came in one day and he wasn't there. And we searched for 2 weeks and we couldn't find him. He had a mansion up in North Arkham. Actually, it was just past North Arkham. It was over in the woods. And he was just gone. No one knows what happened to him.
I described the house that Radley lives in and its address. Is that the place?
He says, oh, I mean, houses are similar, but different addresses.
Does he have the address of the other house?
He writes it down.
Okay, so I got the address. Well, we're certainly trying to find the prominence. You don't know anything about of a large black mirror other than it was part of your uncle's collection?
Yes. I mean, any of the objects you're probably naming, they went to an auction house and they were bought by, I think, antiquers. My family, they fought over the house for decades. So long, in fact, that by the time by the time someone actually won the house, and it was my mother, she died, and then the house was in complete disrepair. They fought for literal decades. He passed, and he sits there, and he's trying to remember. He kind of leans back in the armchair and goes, "Oh my God, turn of the century." And he's trying to recall, but he says it's decades. 1894.
Okay.
They fought for 25 years, 20 to almost 30 years over that house. And by the time my mother won it, she died. And then when I went to go see the house, no one had been taking care of it. It was complete shambles. So we just sold everything.
You sold the house as well?
No one would buy the house, and he kind of points around and says, and I don't have the money to repair it, so it's just sitting out there.
Does anybody else have any questions? Dexter?
No, I don't. No.
Why did he collect these moons?
I think he made them, actually.
He made them?
My uncle, he was a little odd. I only met him a couple times when I was a kid. I never really been up to the house, and he usually came down, but towards the later part of his life, apparently, or I guess before the disappearance, he was kind of a recluse for several years, about 7 years. He didn't really need to worry about working, because he made it big in the shipping industry. He was trading a lot with Europe and the Orient, and he just had a lot of money, and so he didn't really need to do anything for the rest of his later years.
Oh, so it was more of a hobby.
I suppose so.
Did
you have any other hobbies? Sorry.
Mr. Olson, if it's we've been following leads for some time now,
yeah,
and they've led us in all different directions. Do you think would you mind? You don't, by all means, you don't have to do this, but we would really appreciate it if maybe we could take a look at the old house. I'm not sure that it will lead to any more information for us, but we're trying to cover all of our bases, and it might be helpful if we saw the house. I realize
it's in. And he sighs, and he says, "Let me try and find my key." And he stands up and he kind of starts going through the house. This is a good time to talk amongst yourselves if you want to.
Do you guys think that this might lead anywhere, or?
It might.
It's possible.
A man, he was making these, manufacturing these mirrors. And
he was into stuff that was, well.
Well, the things that I want to say out loud are insane and ridiculous statements.
Well, to some of these folks here, but we've been through a lot, Paul. So,
I mean, suppose that I'll just say it out loud. Suppose he was attempting to create some sort of a magical object. I can't even say that out loud. It sounds so ridiculous. But that, we have no evidence of any such nonsense.
Maybe we will if we get to his house, maybe there's evidence of it. But as far as I know, I'm not really that kind of person that believes in the magical stuff, but...
I'm not either, but...
Well...
We keep eliminating all the other possibilities.
I think you are. I think you secretly magic.
I keep seeing things that I can't explain, and they all have to do with mirrors.
But...
And now we found a mirror manufacturer, and it's tied to a house that strange mirror things have been happening.
Okay. Clifton, if it'd be okay, it's okay if you don't want to go to the magical mirror place. Manufacturer place.
I didn't say that at all. I just said, do you think that it's really... It's... Could it be, and I suddenly look up at everybody and say, could it be that evil gets away with its stuff so well because nobody will believe that it actually exists?
At this point, Olsen comes in and he's got this big brass key and he hands it to Felix and he says, this is the key to the old house.
Oh, well, if you don't mind, I mean, I imagine that you would accompany us, but
he shakes his head and says, I don't really want to drive all the way out there.
All right. And
there's nothing we'll return valuable the key to you there.
Okay. Keep the key. We'll return the key to you. Absolutely.
And he shrugs and he says, there's nothing valuable out there. No one. I haven't been up there in 5 years.
Okay. I make sure he has our contact information.
Okay.
And thank you very much.
He takes a sip of his coffee and he nods and he says, you'll see yourselves out?
Sure, thank you.
All right. And you guys walk outside.
Well, that was somewhat easier than I expected.
Quite.
Henry, you see I'd say about a 14-year-old boy and he's walking up the street towards you guys. And he's part of the telegram service. And he looks at you, at the group of you, and he says, is one of you Mr. Sterling?
That's me, yes.
But he nods and he says, telegram for you, sir.
Thank you. Tip the fellow if that's appropriate. Take the telegram.
Okay.
Look at it.
The telegram says, in kind of weird wording, so I'm just gonna say it in the plainest terms possible. It instructs you to meet someone at an abandoned farm acre just outside of South Arkham. The letter says to come armed at 9 o'clock.
Come armed?
Yes.
I show everyone else. Say, this is interesting.
Is it our farmer?
No, the farm is in North Arkham by Wrigley's house. This is saying, come to an abandoned farm acre south of Arkham.
That sounds incredibly dangerous.
Anybody know anything about that area?
No, I don't. I don't know anything about that area.
Well, if it was someone intending to ambush you, they wouldn't have said to come armed, would they?
Unless it was a duel.
Well, or unless they're trying to make it look as though they killed you in self-defense.
Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Well, we should do. I'm up for it. What the heck? Let's see what this is about.
Yeah. Might as well poke the bear and see what happens.
Say come alone.
This is turning into one hell of a gig.
Does it say come alone or no?
No. It actually specifically says, I need all of you to come. Come armed.
No initials or anything like that at the bottom? Nope. Is it written or printed?
It's printed.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's... Shall we head over to this farm?
Let's make it so.
Wait, it says 9 o'clock. What time is it?
What's time now?
I'd say about 6 in the afternoon, because you guys have been kind of going everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So,
it's 3 hours.
You guys could arm up and say your prayers and then head out.
I think we've all been armed.
Get a sub before we go. Meatballs.
I'm wondering if it's Amelia.
You want to go to Maestro's?
We should grab something we can take with us. Yeah.
Yeah, I could eat.
All right. We'll pick up some Maestro's on the way.
So you guys had the Maestro's. They've been serving Arkham since 1690. They've been serving the freshest, most amazing meatball subs known to man. They've also been serving these noodles that move on their own, but no one really asks about those. Maestro's.
The Wigglers. Yeah, everybody likes the Wigglers.
Maestro's. It's Good Eats. And at this point, you need to put a little thing right here. Maestro's. It's Good Eats. And then yeah. I'll let you do the graphics.
It would be awesome if you could hold a sandwich like this, and just as you said, it's Good Eats, this little tentacle comes out and slaps you in the face or something.
It's Good Eats. Right.
So, Tom, you need to make the Maestro shirts, bud.
I'm working on it, actually. I'm working on the logo.
So, all right. So, you guys get Maestros, you guys arm yourselves, and you head out. So it's about 9:15. You pull it, it's pretty much completely pitch black. You're far away from the city at this point. Who is driving right now?
I have a car, and I have drive, unless someone else wants to.
I don't drive.
Yes, I do. Live in Toronto.
Trent, so yes. So you're driving everyone. Everyone is in the car. There's just some room in the car. But you pull into this. It's an enormous field, and you see parked in the very center of this field is a little black car. The lights are out. I'm going to say you pull up about 50 yards away.
Yeah.
300 feet? Can we even see it?
Yeah, you can see it.
It's a football field away.
150 feet.
That's 150 feet. Yeah. Yeah, because you're only 50 yards away. Because, and I'm guessing, So you can see that above, there's a storm coming. It's beginning to kind of drizzle. It's starting to rain a little bit. So what do you do?
Well, I get out.
Mm-hmm. I'll get out too.
Someone should keep on watch while we're talking.
Now, is there any way that there could be people hiding in the field, or is it pretty much flat?
It's completely flat. It's flat. No one's hiding in the field.
So there's no way to ambush us from anywhere nearby.
No.
Walk towards. Keep an eye out.
Okay.
For movement.
Let's walk up.
All right. So Hawk and Trent, you begin to move, and that's when a raspy female voice says, "Stop."
Okay. We stop.
Mm-hmm.
Only Sterling.
Okay. Watch my back, please. I'll walk over.
Just as you take a step forward, I hold on to your clothes for a second. I'm like, I think this is about the ghouls.
Oh, I think I know who voice this is.
All right. So I let you go.
All right. So, Trent, you approach. The front door opens. And out comes this 6'6 gangly creature dressed in an ill-fitting outfit, a top and pants. It's got this odd hood up. It's made a scarf. It's got a hood up, and you can see the muzzle.
Mm-hmm.
in its long fingered hand, it's clutching onto a bag. And in its left hand, you see it's got a pistol, like a little Luger.
Pointed anywhere in
particular? Right at the ground.
Okay.
Just at the ground. When you approach, I'm going to say, how close do you get?
It's 20 feet.
Okay, so you get 20 feet and you stop.
Yeah.
And you can see the blue human eyes, but you can see that dog-like muzzle and everything that makes it look like a ghoul. You know it's a ghoul.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Do I know it's the ghoul?
Yes, you know it's the ghoul.
Okay.
And you kind of see it snarl, then take about, I'd say, 5 long strides forward. And now it's standing above you.
Okay.
And it looks down at you, and it says, "I forgive you." And it then holds out the bag.
I'll take the bag and I will say, I'm sorry it went down the way it did. It wasn't what was intended.
She nods and says, "I know that now." It is at this point that the entire group hears a car speeding down the road. And you can see the lights as it's coming down the road. Trent, you see the ghoul tense up and kind of bring up the gun.
Not towards me.
No.
Okay.
Taking steps backwards towards the car. This car, it's a big black, the equivalent of a sedan in 1930. It doesn't hit the brakes. It just slides into the little driveway of the field, barrels in, screeches to a stop.
Behind the cars, guys.
The doors fling open, and as you guys are moving towards the cars, trying to take cover, all these men just start pouring out with guns, and they point over, and in some strange language, they say something as they point at you. I'm going to say, Henry, give me an intelligence roll.
No, that's a fail, 86.
How close?
Let's see, like 15 points off. Jeez. 16 points off, sorry.
All right. Trent, you give me an intelligence roll.
Made it. I made it by 22.
The language they're speaking is German.
Oh, I speak German.
Oh, you speak German?
Yeah.
They say, "Get the book. He has the book."
I say, "Stay back."
In German?
Like that?
Yeah. I say, "Stay back" in German.
They don't care. Give a shit. They're behind the cars and they're firing at you. They're shooting. Okay. At you.
We're now shooting back too.
All right.
Oh yeah. I'll take her lead though. If she goes behind the car, I go where she goes.
Yeah, she goes. She gets behind the car.
Yeah, I'm gonna shoot too.
I get on my cell phone. I call 911.
So, for time's sake, because it's already past 10. I'm gonna tell you now. You have two options.
Okay.
You can either risk getting into the car and driving away. They block the exit, so you need to drive through the fence and then back onto the road. Or you can do the shootout between 4 or 5 men.
Shootout. Oh, you guys choose. I'm going to pour the gasoline down in the septic tank. Don't trust me.
Well, I'm kind of hoping that some of you get in the car and I'm going to continue shooting.
I'm gonna keep on shooting too. So I'll be kind of like the last person to get in the car.
Yeah, if we can get Tommy and Bomboni in the car and get the engine started and stuff like that, then we can all pile in. You know, we can lay down some suppressive fire, and then as soon as they, you know, we jump in the car and then tear out.
All right. Is this
most the most logical thing is for us to get out of here? Right?
How far away are these Germans?
They're, I'd say, about 50 feet.
50 feet.
And it's dark.
Yeah. Hmm. And they have their headlights on, so it's pretty much just blinding you guys.
All right. We are at a total disadvantage. Let's
shoot at the headlights.
That's a good idea. Actually,
I'm going to make my way towards the car, but I do have my pistol out.
All right, so Thompson's first to make it to the car. So I need you to give me a dodge roll.
Really?
Yep.
It's like the
Matrix. That's just like saying, give me a dex roll, but make it worse.
I told you not to. I told you not to take it personally.
57 out of 30.
All right, so you get up and you're moving towards the car when, wham, bullet hits your shoulder, doing 5 damage. You all can hear the bone shatter, and you can see, you is it half of your health, Thompson?
Yes, it is.
You see Thompson collapse onto the ground. He's shouting in pain, and he's out in the open. So we'll go down the line, and we'll say it's now Trent's turn.
Well, I'll aim at a headlight because I'm like that far away and it's a shotgun.
Okay. Go ahead.
23, and that's a hard.
Okay. So, bam. One headlight goes out. So now we're going to move to the great Bambini. Bamboni. Bamphony.
I'm gonna attempt to get to the car.
All right, give me a dodge.
Ooh, 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 ooh. That is 2.
Oh damn! I was gonna say, hopefully you get more than a regular because they got a big pass. All right,
like an eel.
Yep. You move, bang, bang, bang. You weave through the bullets and you get into the passenger side of the car and make your way into the driver's seat. All
can
right.
I do that on stage.
Dodging so, bullets. Tommy, little boy Tommy, who's in the middle of a gunfight.
Where's the professor? Can I grab him?
You can, and kind of drag him. I'm gonna guess that you're in the front of the hood of the car, so you can just kind of pull him into cover.
Yeah,
I'll do okay. that. Okay. All right, you grab him and pull him into cover. You can make a first aid check if you'd like, but by pulling him in, you're sacrificing your attack roll.
Yeah, okay.
He doesn't really have time to do first aid at this point.
Well, I mean, to the point where, like, I could apply pressure to the wound, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
You want me to roll for that?
Sure.
Yeah, I made it. 14 out of 30.
All right. So Thompson gets 1 point of additional health, but he's still he's going into shock. He can't make this out of here on his own. Mm-hmm. Hawk, mm-hmm. You're watching Tommy press down on his.
No, I'm not watching wound. That. I'm aiming for the head of whoever I think is the lead guy.
Yeah. So you aim for the driver.
Yeah.
Go ahead and give me a roll.
39 out of 75. That's better than half. Is it?
Well, and they failed their dodge. So go ahead. Do the damage.
Let's see. My damage is... Where is my thing? 1d10. Looking for a 1d10. 9 points.
So, bam, you blast him in not the head, but the neck. It breaks through the glass of the window, and it goes right into his neck, and he gurgles and he collapses onto the ground, and you hear one of the Germans shout, "Bastard!" And then they continue firing.
Reinhold. Reinhold.
Dexter.
Okay, I will shoot at the same guy.
Well, he's on the ground. He's dead.
Okay, then I'll shoot at the other, whoever I think the next guy.
Got it. Shit.
I pass. I miss.
You miss? Okay, well, they got an 100, so go ahead and roll the damage.
Just give me a second here. 8 points of damage.
So 8 points, you blast him in the chest, and he kind of collapses on the ground, but you still see that he's bringing the gut up, and with a shaking hand, he's still firing. We're going to say it's the ghoul girl's turn now. So Trent, if you watch her growl, stand up, point the Luger, but bam, 2 shots to the chest.
Ugh.
And she collapses onto the ground. And she's wheezing, and she kind of reaches up and grabs you by the arm and kind of tugs you down.
Okay.
And she whispers to you, she says, "People are coming for what's inside. It needs to be destroyed. I didn't understand, but now I do. The longer it exists, the more powerful she becomes. And the more powerful she becomes, the easier it is for them to find it. Destroy it." And she says something in some strange language and then collapses on the ground, dead.
I try to make a note of that so I don't forget it, whatever she says.
All right. Time for the Germans to shoot. They're going to fire at Mick, who's in the car.
Well, I'm behind the car at the moment.
Well, you're behind the car.
I haven't got in the car yet, no. I've got to the car.
So go ahead and give me a dodge roll.
A dodge roll? Oh, God. That is 41, and my dodge is 60. So that's just a regular.
Okay. How many points? But how many points away?
How many points away from what?
Your success.
He did succeed.
No, I did succeed.
I know. How many points away from the success rate? So you got a 64, and what's your...
No, I got a 41, and my dodge is 60.
Okay, so 19.
Mm-hmm.
All right, they got a 10. So you pass. You both got regulars. Okay, so you pass. So that misses. They're also going to fire at Hawk. Go ahead, Hawk.
Well, I'm going to return fire, so.
Okay.
I got a 9.
A 9?
Yeah, that's hard.
Yeah, because I got a 14. So we're talking about both hearts. So, but yours is definitely the stronger one. So go ahead and return fire.
Okay. So I return fire. Oops, wrong dice. Only did 4 damage.
Okay. So he hits and he's fine. The one on the ground in his dying breath is going to attack Corey.
I'll make a dodge. I fail.
Okay, well, they got a hard.
Okay.
So, bam! Right in the stomach, 6 damage.
Ow. Okay.
All right, so Mr. Thompson's on the ground. He's writhing in pain. He can't do much. Trent, what should you do? You're still holding on to your gun and the bag that she gave you.
Can I glance and see if the keys are in the ignition of her car?
You do, and they are.
Well, since I'm on the other side of the car, can I slide open the door and get into that other car?
Yep.
I will do that and start the engine.
All right, so you guys hear the roar of the engine. Hawkins, at this point, that you hear one of the Germans say, she's getting away, get her. And they begin firing primarily at the car. So,
As soon as they start firing at the other car, can I try and get into our car and get it started?
Yep, and you don't even need to do a dodge. So you get
I'm
and you
turn
the key. I'm
going to keep my head down still. But...
So everyone around the car hears the car roar to life.
Okay. I will continue shooting and tell everybody to get the hell in the cars.
All right. So, Tommy, what would you like to do?
Yep. I'll see if I can get the professor in the car, too.
Not hard, especially with the Germans not really focusing on you, but firing at the car that's starting to pull away.
Yeah. And I'll look around. Where is Dexter? Is he near the car?
Yeah, he's near the car.
Yeah.
He's just profusely bleeding.
I'm going to lean behind me and open the door behind me.
Sure. So at this point, we can have you, Felix, kind of grab Dexter and pull him into the car. All right. Hawk, everyone is in a vehicle.
Okay. So what I'm going to do is with one hand, I'm going to try to open up the back seat door so that I can climb in but continue firing all the while, you know, as I'm getting in.
Sure. Go ahead and give me a roll.
And when they started firing at the other car, I mean, they're not firing at me anymore, so I'm just firing. I'm carefully taking aim.
Sure.
19.
Okay.
Out of 75. That's not quite a critical, but it's definitely a hard.
Okay. Go ahead and roll damage.
10. 4.
4? All right. Yeah. You hit him kind of right in the arm, and he yelps in pain, but he then points and realizes there's people getting into another car, and he says, this car, them. And the others are like, oh my god. And so now they're confused and they're kind of shooting all over the place. With that. Trent, I'm going to guess you threw the sack into the passenger seat.
Yep.
When you did, the crimson letters, the Arkham Witch Trial papers, come out of the sack and hit the chair.
Okay. Awesome. Am I in a position that I could throw it to them or no? I probably don't want to do that.
No. you're driving the car and Felix is pulling the car. He's pulling away as well. So okay. You're kind of taking the lead. Where are you going?
Well, you said we'd have to get through the fence to get out because they're blocking the way.
Yep.
How many of them are left standing?
Two.
Is it possible to back over them or drive at them, or is that...
You can drive at them, but that means smashing into their car.
It also means you've got a clear shot right at your face.
Yeah. Just
head through the fence like was originally thought. They've only got one headlight. We should have taken out the other one.
So go ahead and give me a drive roll.
All right. No.
So you smash through the barbed wire, but it catches in one of the wheels, and you just hear, all of you hear a pop, and your car flips. It doesn't flip around, but it kind of bounces up. But you get onto the road, and you hear a tear as you break away from the fence, and now you've just got this barbed wire sparking on the road. Felix can drive through the hole pretty easily, though. He doesn't need to do a drive roll. you pretty much sacrificed your vehicle. So your car is now slowly going to a stop because you can't pull forward.
Well, I'll just pull two just in front of him.
Yep.
All right.
Open the passenger door. Just get in, quick, get in.
So we all transfer into the other car.
So, and then you drive off, and it is now that you see kind of bundled up in a burlap sack in Trent's hand is the Arkham Witch Trial papers, which means that the ghoul found it and has given it to you, and that's what the Germans are after.
Right.
All right, let's end there.
Nice.
That's a good spot to end. Our players included Corey Heisted, Sean Little, Mick Swan, Jeff Wilkins, Wayne Worthy, and myself, with Thomas McKeon as the Keeper of the Secrets. Please consider visiting our Patreon account. Just a few dollars a month will help us greatly. We are currently producing 4 shows a week with music and sound effects added in post-production in order to create a richer listener experience. Our musical intro is entitled Insidious, and it is provided royalty-free from Purple Planet Music. We're also providing audio-only versions of our shows free for you to download from Podbean or iTunes. You'll find links to everything that I mentioned in the description below. This is Tom Rayleigh, together with all the members of our gaming group, inviting you to journey with us once again into the darkness for another adventure into the universe of H.P. Lovecraft and the Call of Cthulhu role-playing game. Until next time, good luck and good gaming.